Page 180, only a couple more here. I know we're getting late into the interview, but number 302.
Right. Okay, this is Hanshan. maybe he needed Imodium or something. I'm speaking to those who have left home. So he's talking to the monks. You know, home leavers are those, you know. So in Zen we say shuke tokudo. So shuke tokudo is means leaving home, attaining the way. So people who go off into ordination. I'm speaking to those who have left home. What kind of people are called home leavers? You seek luxury and stoke your own livelihood. You inherit schools of those with patched robes, but enjoy eating delicacies and sweetening your beaks. Your crooked minds flatter and hook other people. All day long you perform rites in the practice hall, hold sutra books, and conduct services for merit. You offer incense to the gods and Buddhas, strike the bells, and chant loudly together. But you spend your time learning how to grind up guests while day and night you're not even supposed to lie down. Since you only love money and things, your minds are not free. When you see virtuous people, you hate them and put them down. It's like comparing donkey shit to fine incense. You cause the Buddha so much pain. It's really excoriating. You know, so he's, you know, in the previous poem, there was a line that I read. There was a line about, you know, basically, you know, to give up your, you know, give up your life of appearances, right? When he's saying, you know, the same thing here, you guys are just a bunch of phonies, you know. Why don't you realize that you're causing the Buddha so much pain? So in, let me just see something, this character here. Yeah, okay, so there's the classic character for the Buddha, meaning Shakyamuni. So so when he says you cause the Buddha so much pain, you know, he is probably referring, he's referring to the Buddha, you know, to Shakyamuni Buddha. But if you read this poem, understanding that that you're the Buddha, which is classic understanding, in Zen Buddhism at least, he's saying, don't you realize what you're doing to yourself? Right. Don't you realize what you, and you know, Buddha is Buddha's awakening. So the one Buddha has a person, so a one who is awakening. Don't you realize what you're doing to your own awakened self by living like this? How could you not? How could you want to continue doing this?
Page 183, number 304, last one that I had written down to discuss.
Yeah. I see someone with great knowledge who uses his mind all day long. He stands at a fork in the road and shouts out, deceiving everyone. This only creates the dregs of hell, not true practice. When impermanence suddenly arrives, he'll know he has squandered his life. So he, you know, I mean, actually, this is a hopeful poem, because he's saying that the person living like this, when he faces his own death, when impermanence suddenly arrives, of course, impermanence doesn't suddenly arrive. Impermanence is the nature of existence, according to, you know, according to the Buddha's teachings, you know, constant change. If it wasn't for impermanence, nothing could come into existence. There would be no form is boundlessness and boundlessness is form. But that's, you know, going into, you know, Zen understanding. But when impermanence suddenly arrives, in other words, when you finally face your death, you'll know that you squandered your life. What's hopeful about it is that he's saying, so don't do that. You know, again, this is Hanshan seeming to be very judgmental, very excoriating, but what is the spirit of the poem?
Hope that this guy can change.
Yeah, I hope you will. I hope you will see this. Yeah. Don't you see this? Why don't you see this?
What did you learn about yourself from translating this book?
Well, besides how much I loved translating Hanshan, so we started translating this book a few years ago. We thought it would take us 5 years, but we loved it so much that we actually did all of the poems in about 2.5 years. which is a problem because then we need another project so we can keep visiting each other. But during the period that that we were translating this book, and I was becoming further and further and further immersed in Hanshan mind, as I had to be in order to do my best, basically give my best to this work. I was found to have lung cancer, and I had to take a break in order to go through that whole thing and have surgery and do all of that. But then, once I was able to work again, there was a different person going over the translations and trying to make them as authentic as possible. And that person had been given the opportunity that was in that last poem. I was given the opportunity to face my own mortality, because lung cancer is not necessarily an easy disease to have. And I found that the fact of my life and being given the opportunity to face my mortality as I was, with the diagnosis and with the surgery and all of that, which fortunately have worked out well so far, I understood the poems better. I understood what was driving Hanshan even better. I thought I did before, but now there was an extra layer taken away between me and reality. An extra barrier taken away between me and reality. And so I learned that that somehow this man who went to the mountains at about 30 and yet wrote, you know, I'm 80 years old, I'm 100 years old, you know, it's his poems, you know, that somehow he was able to have this kind of full realization of the preciousness of life without necessarily facing something like disease or something like that. For myself, I was able to see myself more clearly through the translating of the poems. They were really my intuition that he was my companion was in fact true. He was my companion in life and death.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here too.
Thanks for this book. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, well, thank you for spending some time together with me, Bhakti and Sasha. It's been good.